1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Coming up, we have a flashback by request on The Phil Hendry Show. And we'll have a little visit, I think, from Comb Over Boy in a moment. And is Riley Davenport, I think, has his grandma. And we also want to mention to you that our website, of course, is available right now at 1-800. Actually, it's W.
President Hendry, you go ahead and just lay your hand on the Bible. I, Phil Hendry, do solemnly swear to protect the Constitution of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to protect the Constitution of the United States of America.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
And I hereby swear my allegiance to the flag and all that.
And I hereby swear my allegiance to the flag and all that.
President Hendry, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Let's go get drunk.
Yeah. So all you have to do is just go to our email address and you'll be able to get all that information. All right, right now we have a flashback by request. It says, Dear Phil, you played a Steve Bozell bit around October 2003 where he broke his leg and couldn't take his, quote, baby girl to a dance, meaning his daughter. Steve was fighting back tears. He began to sing Lady in Red and Oops, I Did It Again. Please play that one. Thanks, Mike Martinez. Here it is, Mike, Steve Bozell, and his baby girl.
Well, I wanted to say, I own a computer business in Wichita, Kansas, and I've injured myself more than once on ladder, whatever, et cetera. My kids trip me, whatever. And I've injured myself, but nothing can compare to losing someone's home and everything they've worked for. There's nothing you can just pop and replace it. I'm sorry.
Right, could I ask
a leg
you
or heel.
Can I ask you a question? What about what if your leg was, what if your leg was severed off? What if the leg
severed
was
off?
Yes, sir.
You know, I've had family members that have had strokes, and that severely injured them for the rest of their life. And they have not complained once about it because they are real men. I grew up in the country, and I brought that with me to my business. But I understand if you lose your farm, if you lose your family, if you lose everything that you have worked hard for, that is your life getting burned up. Do you understand what it means to lose your life?
Okay, but you're trying to tell me that you don't think a man getting like his leg severed off is as bad, and I think you're wrong.
No, because you're a man.
You didn't get your leg severed off.
All right, can we talk? Can we talk straight?
What?
What if you had your manhood severed off?
Well, it doesn't matter. You're a man.
Oh,
that's
God.
That's what matters. If you're a man, you will stand up, take the pain like a man, and handle it like a man.
Okay.
You will not ask for sympathy like some little
What about the fact that
woman.
She has insurance? She'll get her house back. I don't have insurance on my leg. If I get gangrene, okay, thanks a lot.
Well, I mean, how much would it take for you to get insurance?
You're an employer. Don't you self-insure?
I have not done that this year, no.
Well, that's stupid
well, that
as hell.
Dumb idiot.
You got to self-insure. You insure your employees, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Well, what the hell is that about? You insure your employees. You got no insurance.
Look, I promised my daughter, April Jr., that I would escort her to her first school dance, and now I can't dance with my baby daughter because I've been crippled up. Crippled up while the other fathers are dancing.
Good God. Woo! I live with back pain every day because I am disabled. But I still run my business. I still handle my affairs like a real man.
Wait a minute. Are you on disability?
I've got two.
Are you
no,
on disability?
No, I am not on disability. I own myself a nice business that makes me well over $500,000 a year doing computers. I don't need to be on disability, and I do have family members that are on it, but they're on it for a good reason.
Well, you know, if you quit your job, there's a bunch of Mexicans that'll take the.
Will you get off that Mexican thing once and
Mexicans,
for all?
Mexicans, I am not working a job, sir. I own my own business. I don't think you heard that.
Rocky, very good, and congratulations on the success of your business, and thank you for lending some sense to this conversation.
Thank you.
Jesus, do you stick your nose right up the crack of the...
Yeah, well, I'm trying to figure out here exactly...
You know, my daughter is going to be going to her dance, Mr. Hendry.
I understand that.
My baby girl. I always want to see my baby girl dance in her first freshman dance. And now her daddy can't dance with her. I can't take my baby girl out onto the dance floor because I'm all crippled up. Just like that. It's a hell of a thing to face man's life when you're all crippled up, can't take your baby girl out on the dance floor there at the gymnasium. I can hear the song right now. Oops, I did it again.
I understand, sir.
Then they'll go over for some drinks, cocktails, or what have you.
At a freshman dance?
Well, you know, Cokes and everything. And all I wanted to do is just on my baby girl's first dance, take her out on the dance floor and hear the song, Lady in Red is Dancing with Me. I'll never be able to hear it.
Hey, Steve, seriously, man.
You know, Mr. Henry, you've been making fun of me for a solid hour.
Well, what do you mean, Lady in Red?
I want to take my baby girl out onto the dance floor for the first time in her life. You know, it's one thing you see a little girl. She's all pigtails and ribbons and all that. She grows up to become a young lady. And then they have the father-daughter dance over at the high school like they always have every year. And I wanted to go over there and dance with her. And dance to that song that we all know so well, the song that we all love. And I got to sit there like a cripple, all crippled up, and I can't get out there and dance too. I just want to fly. Put your arms around me, baby. Put your arms around me.
Steve Ozell on the Phil Henry Show by request, a flashback. Yeah. Wants to dance with his baby girl to Lady in Red. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Been watching a little bit of the inauguration of you, because it's on the tube, and everybody's in there. Oh, my God. Joe Piscopo. They got Joe Piscopo on the tube. When's the last time you saw him? Piscopo's there in a tux. It says Joe Piscopo, actor. And they've got everybody's dolled up, and they're wearing their best evening gowns and boogieing the night away there at the inauguration for President Bush. It's a big party, you know, and I don't see any Secret Service afoot, but I'm sure that they're there. So I don't know why I brought that up, but other than to say that I wish I was there.
Well, you got invited to it.
I did get invited. Just some
probably some gay guy.
Yeah, probably a gay listener wanted me to go with him.
Does Piscopo still have cancer?
Huh?
Does he still have the cancer?
I don't know if he's got cancer.
I bet he was faking it.
What do you mean faking it?
Well, look at him. He looks ripped.
Doesn't look ripped, dude. He looks like... I don't know if he still has cancer. He doesn't look like... He doesn't look well, I'll tell you that.
Nah, he looks ripped.
He doesn't look ripped. You can't even see any muscles. He's wearing a tuxedo. Comb Over Boy coming up on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Get ready. The Comb Over Boy Show is on the air.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. My name is Gary Zabransky. I'm Comb Over Boy's producer. He left a note. Let me read it here. It says here, Dear Gary, I killed myself because I suck and I'm ugly. So I don't know. We'll just play bumper music for the rest of the show. That's the one thing about the show that's good is the bumper music.
The Comb Over Boy Show.
I guess I'll take a... Hello?
Is it true? Did Comb Over kill himself?
Yeah, he took poison.
Is this Gary, the producer?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. Turn this up, because I like this song.
Well, that's just the bump...
Turn it up!
It's the bumper music for Comb Over's show. Wouldn't be respect...
Shut up!
No, but...
Just shut up and turn the music up!
I'm trying to...
Shut up!
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, you're on the air. Comb Over Boys killed himself.
I've got to agree with the other caller. His show would have been way better if he just played this song through the whole 4 hours. That would be...
Well, you guys are lame.
No. You're lame.
Hi, this is Gary, Comb Over's producer.
Gary, if Comb Over's dead, can you take his glasses off? We heard he doesn't have any eyeballs. Is that... Yes or no?
No, he has eyeballs.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm supposed to take any more calls.
Well, you can take my call. Listen, I got a question. How come he wore those sunglasses all the time? Is it, is that, what is that?
I don't know.
Well, what does that mean? Are his eyes too close together? Is that it? A little inbreeding? Or is it just a statement of like, I'm hip, even though I'm not? What is that?
Well, he wore cowboy boots and stuff.
You're not answering my question. I think he wore those sunglasses because his eyes are too close together. It may be that he's a cyclops. I think the inbreeding in his family is so deep and so sustained, he only has the one eye.
Hi, this is Gary, the producer of the Comb Over Show. Hello.
Yeah, Gary, can you check Comb Over's wallet? I bet he has a few bucks in there and a 20-year-old condom. Baba Booey.
one 800 449 8686. So, Comb Over did himself in. Well, may he rest, having had his peace. Or four. Or whatever. 1-800-449-8686. Cops nab repeat inaugural crasher. A U.S. Capitol Police on Thursday arrested a man who had sneaked into George Bush's first inauguration and was photographed shaking the president's hand. Hours before Bush took the oath of office for a second time, Richard Weaver was taken into custody on the Capitol's West Front on an outstanding warrant. The warrant involved the 2001 inauguration when he was seen in an Associated Press photograph shaking Bush's hand and slipping him a coin and a note. And he was also, he pulled the same stunt at President Clinton swearing in. That's pretty cool. Also, cops had to deal with some inauguration protesters, although there were probably like five of them, but they set garbage can fires and, you know, they pepper sprayed their asses and stuff like that. There is such a thing as a protest, and it's just like setting garbage can fires, right? I mean, what's the point here? We don't have one. Thank you. In other news on the Phil Henry Show, we have what is this stuff? Halo 2 video game sales hit 6.4 min units. What does that mean?
Million.
Now, it doesn't say million. It says M-I-N. Sales of Microsoft's, it probably means million. Blockbuster action video game Halo 2 have reached 6.4 million units worldwide. In a few short months, Halo 2 has surpassed 2001's Halo, which had been the best-selling game ever for Microsoft's Xbox console. Together, the Halo franchise has sold 12.8 million units around the world. Halo 2 was the number two game of 2004 in the United States behind Grand Theft Auto San Andreas from Take-Two Interactive Software. Microsoft also said it's reached 1.4 million users for its Xbox Live online gaming service. So there you go, man. Like we said, that's where the kids are right now. I mean, that's what people are interested in. Music is dead. Kidding. Well, it sure ain't what it used to be. Look at this. There's Shauna Fleming from www.millionthanks.org. For a minute there, I thought it was... She's drunk, bud. You see her?
Yeah, she's moving her mouth like she's been drinking.
All right. Among the many questions we get on our radio show are questions regarding this bumper music. Now, let me tell you something. We have bumper music on our show for one reason only. You got to give the radio stations a heads up that you're coming back on the network. That's the only reason why I have bumper music. A lot of shows have bumper music because they got no show. They figure if they play really cool-sounding bumper music, people will be seduced into thinking they've got a really hip show. And then if you listen closely for about, well, say, 45 seconds, you realize you got a lame ass on your hands. But if they can play, like, for instance, Enter Sandman, you figure, hey, there's got to be something rock and roll going on here, right? But we have bumper music that we actually have people emailing us constantly. What's the name of that? What's the name of that? What's the name of that? What we, and some other guy said, would you put a list of your bumper music on your website? And I said, no, I will not do that. What are you? Are you crazy? That's not what my show's about. However, I will bring in Pelton now, Chris Pelton, who's our associate producer, to tell us what is this music that we play on our show. You picked it out, didn't you, Chris?
Yeah, I pick all the music.
All right, do we have an example of some of the bumper music, Mark? I don't know what it is. What's that crap? You wouldn't know that song? That was something that Mark picked out, I guess. What's this?
That is Kiss.
Who?
Kiss.
Okay. That's Kiss, for those of you who want to know. What's this one here?
That's also Kiss.
So there you go, folks. It's Kiss. Anything else? What else do we have in there?
We use Korn.
Korn.
We use System of a Down.
Kiss. System of the Down.
Motley Crue.
Motley Crue.
And
basically your favorite music.
Yeah, it's all my favorite.
Okay,
stuff.
Cool. I mean, that's fine, you know. So there, we don't have to put it on our website. We just told you what it is. And the other thing that we have during our breaks, if you listen to us on the internet, is we have music that is played during our commercial breaks. For some reason, we were not allowed to play good music for a while. The company wanted us to play this rancid garbage that they, because, I don't know, the stations couldn't figure out what was going on. But during our breaks, we play some music. And on one day, it may be The Doors. The next day, it's bluegrass music. And some other days, it's like Swedish opera. But that's what we do behind the scenes here on The Phil Hendry Show. So, but the whole point of bumper music is so that the radio stations that carry your show know that it's time for the show to begin. You just can't come on and sit there and go, hi, we're back. You know, that means there's got to be somebody there watching a clock every nanosecond and boom, all right, turn it on, baby. So we give them a little bit of a heads up. On the 28th, we're doing an all-request show here on a Phil Hendry Show. You can do that on the phone that day. Don't email requests for the 28th show. You can email requests, and we'll play them each and every day we play requests. But on the 28th of January, the Friday show, we're going to be playing requests via the telephone. So if you have one that day, you can call us, and we'll be doing that like once a month. And we'll be doing a CD signing in Tucson on February the 5th. We're very grateful to the folks in Tucson. And to those of you who are, you know, I hate to have to kind of address this, but I'm going to. I got a lot of email from people. Our Detroit affiliate went all Air America, and that's fine. You can do anything that you want. We're on an Air America affiliate in Denver. We're on Air America affiliates all over the place. All right? Do me a favor. You people who may be upset that I'm not on a radio station anymore, don't call the station. Don't email them. They're not going to change their mind. They're not going to change their mind. They've made up their little minds that that's what they're going to do. For some reason, our affiliate in Detroit went Air America as the result of some success that happened with Air America in Portland. Air America is the worst radio I've ever heard in my life. Not because of the political opinions. I'm not talking about that. It represents everything that I hate about talk radio. The opinions are disingenuous. The callers are disingenuous. The whole thing is predicated on a big fat lie. They want you to believe that they have a certain political point of view, when in point of fact, they don't really have any belief system other than how can we make money? So it's like a programming decision. There's no freedom of thought. There's just people that are told to say, if ever there was a radio network that directed its hosts as to what it is they're supposed to say and would fire them if they don't say it, it's Air America. There. Am I making myself as clear as I possibly can? You talk about free speech? If ever a radio network existed in the history of America that will fire its hosts if they do not toe a corporately dictated line, it's Air America. That's it, in a nutshell. But if we're not on the Air America station in Detroit, don't call them up. Those numbskulls aren't going to put me back on the air, man. In fact, if ever there's a station that drops our show, do yourself and me a favor. Don't tell me about it. Don't email them. I don't care. I mean, I'm serious. It's just that nobody's going to be changing their opinion, all right? And if you think that Air America is progressive, as I said yesterday, the only progressive radio show on the air in America today is mine. You can call yourself progressive. It's kind of like you could call yourself, I don't know, you could call yourself jackass. You could call yourself hip. You could call yourself comb-over boy. But unless you're the real deal, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Riley.
Let me see. Riley, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here, sir.
Okay. Is your grandmother, you say that your grandmother is going to predict how long it'll take for us to get our troops out of Iraq. Now, your grandmother was on our program before and didn't predict things properly.
No, that's not the case, sir. I told you when I talked about it with Mr. Pelton that my grandma had properly predicted that my wife and I were going to want to have something to drink one night, and she said water, and my wife came in with some water.
And well, I don't see how that... What has that got to do with... You had her on the show, and you said she was going to predict who was going to win the election, and she said Bob Barker.
That is correct, yes, sir.
Well, Bob Barker didn't win the election, did he?
Well, I don't know. They're still counting the votes.
Oh, come on, man. Are you serious? Look,
there's still a vote count going on in Ohio. I don't know. And he might have won, and they might have said, well, we can't have Bob Barker. I mean, we'll just put Bush in there, for all I know.
Well, what is she saying now?
Well, she's going to predict how long it takes for us to get out of Iraq, Grandma.
Is she there?
Yeah, she's sleeping right now, Grandma. Eggnog. What's that Grandma said again?
What did she say?
Hold on. What'd you say? Eggnog. She said eggnog.
She said eggnog.
Right. So that's...
That's how long it's going to take us to get out of Iraq. Eggnog.
Yes, sir.
Well, you got to be some kind of a flaming idiot, man.
Well, look at Mr. Andy. There's no percentage in insulting me, sir. I'm telling you...
What does that mean, it's going to take us eggnog to get out of Iraq? Isn't this a time frame we're talking about?
That's correct, yeah.
But how's eggnog a time frame?
Well, I don't know, but, you know... I swear to God, right now, it'll be eggnog.
Well, what is it, next Christmas, when we drink eggnog again? I mean, I have no idea.
Grandma, he wants to know what that means. Grandma, wake up.
Don't hurt her.
No, hold on. You wanted to know, isn't that right?
Yes, I did.
Well, I'm going to ask her. Hold on. Don't you sleep, you old whore.
Hey, come on.
Oh, hold on for a minute. What do you mean by eggnog? Don't hurt me. Wake up. No, look at that.
Don't hurt her, man, okay?
Well, you're the guy that's getting up into my face about this. I'm going to get up into her face. You want to climb up into my grill, I'll climb up into her grill, okay? So that's all. You're getting so far up my nose, I can feel your boots on my chin. Come on, man. Please don't hurt me.
Don't hurt the old lady.
What are we getting out of Iraq? Did you say eggnog? She said eggnog.
All right, well, that's great, man. So I'll tell my audience that, okay? We're getting out of...
Hold on for a minute. You see this pillow?
Don't hurt her, man.
Hold on. You see the pillow? You see what I'm going to do with the pillow, right?
Hey, you!
What?
What do you mean with the pillow?
I'm going to make the old whore talk
to you. I don't need for you to hurt her, okay? And don't call her old whore. She's your grandmother.
I'll pinch you, Grandma. Well, she said eggnog, so that's why I'm going with that. I'm sticking with my story.
Good. Okay, great. Thanks a lot, man.
Well, I mean, what...
All right, so if you want to know when we're getting out of Iraq, when the troops will be pulled out, eggnog. 1-800-449-8686. Order the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2004 CD online or call 877-616-7445. It's the Phil Henry Show Best of CD, and all the money goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood, California.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Well, among all the big news that's been happening, I really don't know whether there has been any big news. There's the inauguration is not big news. It's just an inauguration. It's nice. I supported the president. I'm glad that he's president. I realize it upsets a lot of people. I realize there are people who want to blow their brains out that they'll never live in America again or whatever the problem is. Fine, good, great. But there's other things happening. For instance, we referenced this last night. A big swell is about to hit from Japan out here on the West Coast, and that means that the waves this weekend should be up around 10, 12, maybe even 15 feet. And as a result, I've been looking at our little beach up the coast here. There's been a slow migration of wet-suited surfers in varying degrees of disrepair, along with their vans in varying degrees of disrepair, descending upon the area. I saw a guy standing on top of the utility blockhouse today down at the beach, kind of scoping the scene out. And last night, I saw some of the waves hitting the beach were pretty good size. And, of course, the first thing that there's this chick that's so hot that you were talking about, Mark. All of a sudden, I don't want to talk about the waves. There's this reporter on Fox, and she's wearing a dress. Let me just say this. It's open all the way down to the floor. So there was everybody tunes out to Fox, let me just continue with my story about the surf. So in any event, I saw guys like stand up the blockhouses looking at the waves, and I'm talking today to a friend of mine in New York who says,
"Are you going to be safe?"
Yes, yes. No, this is not a tsunami. I'm not talking about a tsunami. I'm talking about... Apparently, something had. Was there a typhoon? There was an earthquake in Japan, and that has caused some kind of a swell, a large wave that will continue to break upon the shore. And the waves are supposed to be pretty intense. It's supposed to be pretty good size waves. Who knows what kind of shape they'll be? I don't know, but. Ain't nothing I'm going to body surf, I'll tell you that. And it's been years since I got up on a board, so forget that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go down to the beach. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to grab a freaking folding chair, go down there with a very small plastic container of, I don't know. What do you think? Chi-Chi's? That sound good to you? Go down there, kick back, put the big freaking straw hat on, and watch these schmucks almost die. That, to me, is fun. Believe me when I tell you. So watch the guys go out there and see what kind of, just exactly what sort of intense and certainly very extremely gnarly situations they encounter out there this coming weekend. So that was kind of the big news of the big, surf. And the other big news is Megan Kendall is at the Liberty Ball in a dress and you can see everything. Oh, my God. But seriously, it's been so much fun being out there. And this is all part of sort of Maria and I working our way through the reality of marriage. I'm living it at the beach right now, and she's with the kids, and everything's good. Everything is totally good. Everything is really great. We had lunch on Sunday. We had a great talk. We went over to our little favorite place, Joanna Fina's over there in Thousand Oaks. We had a great lunch. We wrapped. It was so, it's just really cool, man. You know, when your wife is your friend, man, that's good. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And we're sort of like doing our marriage. You know, everybody has their own version of it, and this is what we're doing. In the meantime, when I get home at night, I sit there and I work. I do a little bit of writing, and I'm like the weird guy who sits up in the lit office and watches the street. All my neighbors are, and last night there's my neighbor Dave. He gets on the roof of his house, and his house faces the ocean. And I hear, "Hey, Phil! Phil!" I'm sitting there, I'm working, right? And it's, I don't know, 1:30 in the morning? And he's up there with his girlfriend. Ah! And I think it's, I can hear a guy yelling. But in this neighborhood, people are yelling. There's also a bar at the corner, so it could have been the bar. Ah! And I go, what? Look at the beach, man! Somebody lit the driftwood on fire! And I look down at the beach, and sure enough, it's on fire. Some guy took a whole stack of that driftwood. Now, did I tell you the story about me and my neighbor going down there like a couple of dumbasses? Oh, you didn't hear about this. The storm pushed huge piles of wood up onto the beach. And there's one really perfect pile of wood. This is like a ready-made pile of freaking driftwood sitting there, right? So dummy one and dummy two, we go down there because I said to my neighbor, I said, John, we got to have a bonfire with that stuff. He goes, that's a great idea tonight, man. I go, cool. Come and get me when you're ready to go. So I hear him go, hey, Phil, let's go. All right. He's got two cans of gasoline, and I got the lighters. Now, do you think we're smart enough to realize that where was that wood? Where had it been? Bud, where was it?
What?
The wood sitting on the beach. Where had it been?
On a tree?
No. The wood that was sitting on the beach, where had it been just before it got to the beach?
In Japan?
It had been in the water, man.
Well, of course. That goes without saying.
Bull crap. That's what I'm trying to get. It goes without saying. It had been in the water, so it's waterlogged. So we're down there. We're dumping gasoline on it, trying to light it. Didn't go up. Anyway, somebody got the bright idea, because I guess they saw us out there fumbling around. Last night, I'm sitting there. I'm working. I hear my neighbor, Dave. Hey, look at that. And I look down. A whole freaking thing's on fire, man. And what's cool about this area is the cops, 4th of July, it's like a, it's a combat zone. Let me just put it there. The 4th of July in this neighborhood, you might as well be in downtown Baghdad, man, during, you know, when they're having suicide bomber rush hour, when they're all racing to get to their sites to blow themselves up. It's just, but, so the cops, and it's also kind of military. There's a few military people live around there. The cops don't really lean on anybody around there too hard. I mean, if somebody sets fire to a house or something, you know, they're there. But no one is going to bust on you because you lit a freaking bonfire on the beach. That's why it's a cool beach, as opposed to, oh, let's say, L.A. County beaches, where you can't fart without 16 L.A. County sheriff coming down on you. The L.A. County beach, where you can't have any fun.
What are you doing?
Having a beer. A beer? Okay, let's see the ID. Oh, gee, this is so much fun. Thank you so very deeply. And by the way, officer, up the beach there in Malibu, where all those movie stars live, and they're throwing everybody off the beach, saying it's private, why don't you go up there and help those people that are trying to have themselves a picnic on public beach, and you got Dustin Hoffman's ass throwing everybody off the beach? Why don't you cops go up there? I just, for once, I'd love to see you do that. Go up there and tell all those jackasses that claim the beach is private, A, no it ain't. B, dude's going to sit there and have himself a picnic with his girlfriend and his baby and whatever the hell it is he wants to do. And C, yo mama too. You can't be bothering me claiming the beach is private. And if you put up a sign that says private beach, take it down. No beach is private in California. In the United States. You can't even smoke on a beach in L.A. County anymore. Guess what? You can smoke on a beach up Ventura County. And guess what people do with the cigarette butts? They pack them out of there, man. They throw them in a garbage bag and pack them out of there. You want to know why? Because people give a crap about the beach up there. They don't give a crap about the beach in L.A. County. Well, you know what? Cops ain't going to do anything about it. I ain't blaming the cops. Understand, I'm not blaming them. They're the guy. This poor schmuck's got to go out and enforce these jackass laws. Do you know what happened to a friend of mine? I don't want to say who.
It was you.
But I, now, why did you say that? I didn't want anybody to know about it.
Well, you told me about it.
I was trying.
You said you got cited for drinking on the beach.
What are you telling people that for?
Because I knew you were going to tell a story.
You idiot. I didn't want anybody to know about it. Now, look at this. Here's Hall.
Well, he needs to know these things.
Yeah, sure he does. Yes, David.
You get popped for drinking on a beach?
I didn't. I got a citation, and I didn't want to talk about it.
How dare you come on the air all holier than thou, and you're drinking on the beach?
I had a margarita, and I got a ticket for it, and I didn't want to talk about it. I was using it as an analogy to what it is I'm discussing, okay? And then Bud comes on here and busts me.
But he told me about it, Mr. Hall.
You can't blame the retard. He doesn't know what he's saying.
Why do you got to open your freaking mouth, bud?
Because I'm part of the show.
I'm going to kill this guy one of these days if you don't get him out of here.
Bud, maybe you better leave.
But wait a minute.
Just leave.
I want to see you in my office tomorrow morning.
Get out of there, bud. What's sticking in your craw anyway?
Nothing.
What are you getting all? What are you yelling at me for?
Yelling at you, man? You're the guy that calls up and goes,
You're on the beach. You're drinking. I don't need a talk show host staggering off of a beach getting run over on PCH. When they find your body, you look like a sack of garbage. You think I want Nick Nolte on my hands? No, thank you. Look, Phil, we got a six-step program, and
what do you mean a six-step program?
We got a six-step program.
What about a 12-step program?
We can't afford it. Now then.
Get out of here. Never mind, I got a break. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. If you care to email us, you can do that. And I've got a letter here from Jimmy J. Riley. In fact, he says, Phil, I just signed up for Backstage Pass, and let me tell you, it's amazing. But when I saw the videos of you doing your show, it completely ruined the experience. It was like when they make a movie from a book and the actors are nothing like you imagined. So since I couldn't get those images of you doing your show out of my head, I had to cancel my Backstage Pass and smash my radio on the concrete six stories below my bedroom window. Thank you for the entertainment while it lasted, Jimmy Riley. Josh Tully writes, I, for one, love the Father McWhorter's bit where he talks about the tsunami being a large baptism. My wife may hate your guts, but she doesn't have to listen to you except when I repeat everything you say. As for cold, how's this? I was watching an ABC special with my dad soon after the tidal wave. The special was called Voices from the Tsunami. I looked at my dad, smiled, and gurgled like I was underwater. We paused, you know, for comedic timing, and then laughed until our ribs hurt. Thanks for the great material. Love you, and not in a Doug Danger way. Josh Tully. Thanks so much, Josh, for writing. And if you'd like to write to us, of course, phs@philhendryshow.com. And I want to thank our guests for this evening. Vernon Dozier joined us. We also had Charlie, the complaint caller, there at the beginning of the show. Bing Crosby was with us to talk about beating his kids. We also had on the air Harvey Wireman, of course, with his senior chat. R.C. Collins and David Hall made an appearance. Tsunami Sam singing a blues version of Hail to the Chief. The producer of the Comb Over Boy show was on to tell us that Comb Over Boy killed himself because he's ugly and he sucks. And, of course, Riley Davenport's grandmother predicting the troops will be out of Iraq by eggnog time, whatever that is. Ted Bell and Justin McElroy on our program tomorrow night. Yes, David?
I just want to ask you one thing.
What?
Have you quit drinking at work? That's all.
Thank you very much. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.